Hello, everyone, and welcome to JFG Tonight. Are we live? Do we receive me? New guy says audio. Unbelievable. I've been streaming for 8 years. I'm always at the right time, but the technology isn't there. Odyssey sucks. Terrible. Absolutely terrible. Working after 3 refreshes, says Total Grim. I still don't see it. It is absolutely unacceptable that a streaming website doesn't start with audio. And now I cannot see if I'm live. Oh my God. But other than this, okay, we're live. Other than this, life is good. Life is good. The temperature is awesome. I really love the temperature. I'm getting very cold temperature right now. And I haven't even used my heat pump, my AC today. Life is really good. I can't believe that. Normally in June, in most places I used to live, it was AC full blown. Now I'm in June and I'm happy with the neutral temperature. It's amazing that by fleeing communism, I've also found exactly the temperature for which my body appears to be made. That is absolutely beautiful. Today I've had a chance to try a ramp out for Bitcoin, because I've been worried about the situation with Binance in Canada. Binance has left Canada, or they will leave it. They are leaving up to September or October for people to withdraw their stuff. And after this, you will only be able to withdraw whatever you had on the platform. So I really don't like the fact that there is no more ramp out, because I'm planning to sell some Bitcoin in this bull run. So I tried a new service, well, a service that is new to me, which is crypto.com. And I tried getting they have a Visa, that you can get a Visa in which you spend your Bitcoin money. And I've had the chance to try it today. I went to the restaurant, paid for my burger with a Bitcoin Visa card, and everything seems to have worked. One thing is that the price that they charged on the credit card was higher, but it's still written as pending. And what they say is that once it's settled as not pending anymore, the price may change. But for now, they charge $5 more than what I actually paid. And so I'm going to check. I'm going to wait a couple of days to see if it settles at a lower amount. But other than this, it's absolutely awesome. And it's a credit card on which you can also withdraw at ATMs. So for a ramp out solution, it's a good out to have. I believe they allow up to $7,000 withdrawn for free. And then after $7,000, it's $5 fee per withdrawal. So it might be just a way to cash out in the bull run if the government of Canada goes too hard after the exchanges. It will not be my principal way of withdrawing, because the fees are relatively high. It's like something like 2%, 3% fees when you convert them from Bitcoin to Canadian dollars. So it's not recommendable necessarily. There's probably lesser fees out there. Big tech exodus, don't say this or I will ban you. And in fact, I'm tempted to ban you anyway, just for being an ass, just for annoying me with one more responsibility in the regular chat. So it's an out that I want in case. It's too high fees for me to be enthusiastic about it. I prefer direct electronic transfers at like literally close to zero fees. That's what we had under Binance. But if it comes down to it, and if it's the only way out, I will keep it as an option. And perhaps it will be a practical way to make expenses. Perhaps there are some things I will be buying when we're at the peak of the bull run, and that might be just a good tool to have. Someone was saying, I can't believe JF is making a full show about the Cube movies. They are so ordinary. Yes, they are very ordinary movies. I titled this because there weren't much news today, so I'm willing to talk about anything, but and I can go through what I've recorded from social media, but today there isn't much happening, and so I thought I would answer to someone who was telling me, Jeff, you should do a review of the three movies once you've watched them. Well, I watched them. So Cube 1 is the basic Cube. I mean, don't trust this trailer. I don't. It's an IMDb trailer. It has nothing to do with Cube. So Cube is this reclos, as we call it in French. It's a whole movie that happens in a closed atmosphere, closed location. It's people trapped in a maze that some rich guy must have been made, but why did they do it? We never get to know, really. And it's just a bunch of people who have been kidnapped and placed into these rooms that are trapped, and they have to get out of the maze. It's a simple premise, an ordinary movie. It is cringe at time. It is overacted at time. So the way we write huis clos in French is like this. HUISCLOS, Aquanote. And a huis clos is simply a theater performance or a movie that entirely happens in a closed space. So the ultimate huis clos is those movies that happen in a cemetery, like someone has been buried alive and the whole movie is spent from within their burial site. And huis clos have been a tradition in French theater. There are many plays where it's all happening in a single chamber, in a single room, because that makes it easier from a theater perspective. It's less decor, less changes. Go Away says, exchange BTC for burgers is a good way to avoid the taxman, though. No, I don't think that passing through Visa is a clever way to avoid taxes. At some point, you're going to have to move your BTC to Canadian dollars, and that moment will be considered a sale. And Barnaby Buto says, try Newton. I bought BTC there last night with 0.5% spread, no other fees. They have Interac. Do they have a ramp out? I keep asking you this again and again, but yeah, I have to check because those are very interesting fees. But do they have a ramp out? Can you sell them Bitcoin and they send you Canadian dollar? That is the only thing I'm interested in. Yes, Interact in and out. Okay, yeah, I do have to try it because that is much better fees. But I will be developing two or three outs for sure because I don't trust the Canadian market right now on Bitcoin. So what is there to say about Cube? Nothing. This movie doesn't lend itself to analysis. It's a whole psychology of the little group of people that are stuck together, that are desperate, that are trying to get out. And the first Cube is a realistic one, like scientifically. And then Cube 2 is Hypercube. And Cube 2 is that the room they have unscientific or science fiction properties. In fact, they are rooms that can time travel. They are rooms that can do quantum superposition, multiple universes, collapse of the wave function of multiple universes. And again, there's nothing to say about Cube 2 because it sucks from a script perspective. It's just not clever. You know, they could have made it into a super complex self-referential loop. If you're going to play with multiple universes, with time travel, show me a self-referential loop. But no, instead we get, well, the hacker, the famous hacker who would have made these rooms happens to be the blind Asian girl that's stuck in the rooms. The violent police military guy is just a violent police military guy, just like the first movie. The crazy old woman is a mathematician who turns out that she understands all this quantum superposition. It's crap, and they could have made a self-referential mind-boggling thing like we see in Primer, like we see in those science fiction movies that are truly meant to represent the multiple universes, but it's totally wasted into a, oh well, at the end there's a girl and she just has to jump into one of the doors and she's liberated from the maze. The whole rest of the cube fails. Not super interesting. The Cube Zero from 2004 is the only one that approaches a mainstream movie that is less cringe, that is more tolerable. And it tells the story of the technicians operating the cube in the first few generations of the cube. So ultimately, you learn at the end of Cube Zero that the very technician that was the main character of this movie was hesitating, you know, at torturing people, turns out to be the retard of Cube One. So it turns out that he was a brilliant technician, but they lobotomized him by putting a chip in him at the end of the movie. But he's undergone this fate while also succeeding at liberating the woman that was stuck in the cube. So all in all, there is nothing to be said about these movies. They are annoying in many ways. They are cringe, but they are watchable. They are watchable. And I would say Cube Zero is the one with the least cringe. Cube One is probably the one that's most watchable. And Cube Two is terrible. It is, Cube Two is the cringiest. It's among the top 10 cringy movies, because the acting is horrible. Total Grimm has sent a super chat. I have received your test, Total Grimm. Animus has sent $16. Thank you so much for supporting the show. He says, hello, JF. Missed the AMA, but wanted to ask. In the last few weeks, you've covered a plethora of destructive female behaviors. It's made me think a lot about how we will raise our own daughters. What is your philosophy for educating daughters to become loyal, pronatal women? Thanks as always. Well, it's been a subject that's on my mind, precisely what you mentioned this there. And there is so much work to do. And it's kind of, you're doing the work, and you have to do this work on your daughters so that the men who come to grab her as a wife will not have to do this work. That is really how I see it. And you have to basically put a lot of blockades on the capriciousness of the request. What I find is that young girls, they have all sorts of requirements. They have all sorts of exigencies that they want things to be done in a certain way. And you have to basically say, no, the world works that way and you're going to have to accept it. And don't be arbitrary about it. It's not about torturing them or making life hard for them just for fun. But you have to detect these moments in which the capriciousness of their female brain starts to express itself into a crisis or a, like, I like, what are the examples? Sometimes they want to eat in a certain way and they want things to be delivered in a certain way. Sometimes they are capable of doing something, but they will want you to do it. young girls, you know, they want you to serve them a lot. You have to habituate them to be independent and to be capable of doing things. And it's going to be hard, you know, it's investment because they won't give up. You'll be like, all right, I know that you can go to the bathroom alone. You don't need me. You are trying to get me to carry you, to put you on the toilet, but you can do all of this. I've seen you do it before, you know? So you have to impose it. And there's times where it's going to be like crises and and you're going to have to endure it and to hold, to know when it's time to hold your side, and know also when it's not worth to cause these crises. So that is a part of the things that are to be done very young. Very young. And girls, young girls, they are capricious like this on certain things, but on the other hand, they want to participate to the home life. So they want to clean, they want to participate to cleaning the dishes, to everything. They want to feed their brothers and their sisters. And so do benefit from this and do instruct them and educate them so that they can do as much as you can, as they can on this front. So responsibilities, you can give them things to do like this, and they will fully enjoy just like folding laundry, cleaning dishes, cleaning the floor, that kind of stuff. Put boundaries on their capriciousness and work on their independence and their self-sufficiency. Not self-sufficiency in the sense, I don't need no man. Not that kind of attitude. More like self-sufficiency in the sense of not expecting others to serve them. Because the female brain, I find, in the children, female, it is very much born with the expectation that, like the queen, like, serve me my grapes type of stuff. So you're going to have to habituate them away from this. Now, that is early age stuff. Later in life, I guess you have to communicate to them the importance in a cultural manner, the importance of their role, the importance of our role in the chain of life, and present them as their sanctified, like, godly purpose, almost. You know, this kind of thing from the universe that, yes, it is important. We are all baby machines, men and women. And you have a particular role in this, and it's going to be a very important thing. So set them up for the capacity to identify good men, habituate them to a good life so that they will seek the same characteristics ultimately. So display a honorable father behavior, and they will want a honorable boyfriend. Put them in a culture where the selection of their boyfriend and the expression of their baby-making capacity are the most important things that they can care about. And don't overprotect the teenagers, I would say. Don't overprotect the teenagers. Overprotect the teenagers who may be putting themselves at risk. But don't overprotect the teenager who is truly, and when I say a teenager, I mean at the age of dating, 16, 17, 18. If they are set on a path to find a boyfriend, to find the best boyfriend they can, and be start a life with them and be loyal to them, don't try to stop it. Let it happen. It is absolutely natural for this moment of the female life to be the moment of bonding. And if they can have the chance of starting a family at 18, 19, 20, don't try to be there trying to supervise and micromanage their love decision. Because most of the time, your contribution will be via negativa. You're going to be Oh, this boyfriend is not good. Oh, no, you shouldn't do this. You should do something else. And by slicing in the negative like this, you're habituating your female daughter to a cycle of love where she's going to run from one guy to another. I would rather set them on a path where it's the ultimate choice. You're going to choose a husband. And it might be the case that she ends up having 1, 2, 3, 4 boyfriends before marrying. But you don't want to cause this by constantly complaining. Oh, this guy is not good. Dump him. What I would do is certainly also form a very important tie with the boyfriends of your daughter. They need to feel that you are in with them. You are in the team. In the team of this guy taking his responsibility and benefiting from the high value that your daughter provide to him. And so you have to become a friend, kind of your daughter's boyfriend and collaborate with him, give money to the couple. If you have an inheritance to give, you can give a house to the couple so that when the couple forms, they are set together. I wouldn't give too much to a single daughter, you know. A single daughter, the problem is she's going to ruin anything you give her. But if she marries and you have the means to pay for a house, then you give the house to the couple. That way they are stuck together, you know. If they break the couple in the young adult years, they're going to lose the house, or someone's going to have it and the other is going to lose it. So that's how I would go with females. They will naturally converge toward caring about their looks, self-monitoring, but you can help by giving them counseling on physical activity. You want to limit the calorie intake of your daughters to the minimum, basically, so that they can remain thin and that they be selected on the sexual market. And have them do exercise, even if they don't like it. It's another one of these boundaries that you have to put. There has to be a schedule, and you have to do your exercise. Same thing for men. You can push further. You can push them to work a lot on their muscle. If you want a kind of son who is physically fit, it's not necessarily my thing, but Nicholas Petris says, Jeff advocating for exercise. Blessed day. Yeah, I mean, it's the fact is that fitness will highly influence your success in life across all dimensions, even your salary in the professional domain. So although I hate fitness and I'm not a gym guy, the fact is that it is in the interest of your children to do some amount of fitness 3-4 times a week, a regular schedule, and it's going to give them something to do. It's going to burn their calories, and at the same time, they will be less looking for entertainment from you. So it's going to give you some kind of a break. Blanket says, JF, have you ever thought about a woman feeding you things like grapes? No, that's not my male brain. In my male brain, I feed the woman with grapes. I am the provider. All right. Someone was asking, JF, what was the best Cube movies? Well, after reviewing the 3 in the last few days, I'd say Cube Zero is the most normie good movie. And Cube One is the most kind of somewhat interesting movie. But I'm not enthusiastic very much about any of those. Would you rather have babysit your children, Nazis or transgenders? Someone was shocked to learn that 95% of the people would trust Nazis over transgenders for babysitting your children. Imagine disliking trans people so much that you'd rather have Nazis look after your kids. This isn't about protecting children. There are complex issues worth discussing when it comes to trans issues. But this is a reflection of wanting, hate, hiding behind kids. No, I mean, it's like, I wouldn't have major worries of social contagion, of activism. Like, and someone who has accepted that they are Nazis in 2023, that sounds to me like someone who's not only going to take care of my child properly, but who's also going to deliver a full notebook of everything that happened and how they responded and how everything is good with my child. It's like, whereas with a transgender, I am absolutely convinced that some opportunity, even if it was during an hour, I'm absolutely convinced that some opportunity will be used to introduce a mindset, to introduce something about, oh, let me talk to you about consent, or let me talk to you about the various genders. And so clearly, we've seen it again and again on social media with these babysitters and woke elementary school teachers. They very much like to introduce their activism into the care of the child. And so that is why 95% of the people would rather have Nazis. Nazis have not tried to chop the balls of my children ever. Nazis have not tried to destroy my family ever. Animus Uprising says, JF, that was great, JF. I have the instinct to have them be independent, and you make great rational for this. We will rebuild this woman generation in the end, I hope. Yes. I very much see that it's never many generations of men who will be served with the lesser woman we have been served with. Because the situation always ends up fixing itself. Now, it sucks for me, and maybe it sucks for you. It sucks for us that we have been born in a generation of the most wasted crack whores, twerking, low-level females that has probably ever been produced by civilization. But at the same time, it all fixes itself, you know, because every piece of work that you do with your daughter is going to be a piece of work that is saved for the male who will be with her. And you have to, at some point, you have to say, even if I'm not given this chance, I will enjoy through empathic kind of acceptance that at least some other man is going to have a normal girlfriend. And I'm going to be friend with this guy. And not that I want to annoy their nuclear family, because I'm not an invasive guy. I don't want to be friend to the extent of always being around my son-in-law. But I want to be friend to the extent of he knows that I'm there, and that I could fix a problem, and that I would even take his side because the problem is, fathers who take the side of their daughter, it is absolutely ridiculous. They are leading themselves, they are letting their daughters lead themselves into delusions. And fathers listening to their daughter to the extent of believing falsehoods is one of the problems that causes eventually false allegations of abuse. Because the daughter knows very well that this is the key word. That if she goes to her father and says, oh, well, he abuses me. First, it allows her to justify the breaking of the family. It allows her to justify why I'm leaving him. Well, he's abusive, dad. So what do you want me to do? And it's sometimes put the dad into taking the side of his daughter. And I would say to dads, be very careful with this. The relationship to truth that a female has is extremely thin, okay? And very much they are willing to use the word abuse according not so much to the truth of it, but to what they can cause, what they can drain in terms of energy from the people around them to obtain something from that claim of abuse. And so it's a manipulative tactic to be claiming abuse like this. And I would recommend to dads to investigate for real, because females that get abused, they are not telling you the whole story. They are not telling you why. And very often it will be merely self-defense that has led a female to even be touched. It will be basically a guy trying to protect himself from her own aggression. The leftist brain always finds the male at the root of evil. It can never be the female. Look at this. Natasha Walter was saying, there's a girl who has taken her baby that was born, a newborn. She has stuffed the baby with cotton balls in his mouth until he couldn't breathe and died. She gets only 12 years. Now, if you kill a baby as a man, if I kill a baby, we get much more than 12 years. But when it's the female, this 12-year sentence seems pointlessly punitive. She was 15 when pregnant, but then she was 16 when she did it. She was having unprotected sex because he did not like wearing condoms. Her father could be cruel. She was abused. She was vulnerable. This is so upsetting. So here you have a murderer, a young female murderer who killed a baby, and you have the leftist brain wants to find this must have been the fault of a male. Oh, well, she was pregnant because he didn't want to wear condoms. But she had the choice then to not have sex. She chose to have sex without a condom. And then, oh, it's because of her father, because he could be cruel. And she was abused. Well, to all these claims, there will not be the same degree, the same threshold of certainty as the fact that we know she killed a baby. And no abuse justifies further violence. So she goes to jail, and that is a murder. Go Away says, men can't get postnatal depression, though, Jeff, that's a mitigating factor. I don't know what you're saying this in relation to. I agree, but what does that mean? Why are you telling me this? Aquanaut says, the comments defending that woman in that Twitter thread was the frustrating thing I have ever seen in my life. JF. Yes, a lot of people saying, oh, it's nonsense. Why do they do this? It's injustice. Well, the thing is, you are applying a known bias of psychology, which is that people cannot find females guilty of anything. That is just how the human brain evolved. For evolutionary reasons, because a female is not a threat. At best, she's a reproductive uterus. At worst, she is nothing. So from an evolutionary perspective, because females were not threats to people around, other than the males with whom they engage, the default was to not find them guilty of anything, basically. Go Away says, JF, have you seen the David Fincher film Gone Girl? It's a great representation of how females abuse and manipulate men, and I think you will enjoy it. I don't think I saw this one. I'll have a look at what it is, but let me tell you that David Fincher, I hate his movies. They're too artistic. Fuck David Fincher. Christopher Nolan updates. Christopher Nolan explains why he didn't want to use computer graphics to recreate the nuclear explosion in Oppenheimer. I knew from the beginning that the Trinity test was going to be one of the most important things for us to figure out. I had done a nuclear explosion via computer graphics in The Dark Knight Rises, which worked very well for that film, but it also showed me that with a real-life event like Trinity, which was well-documented using new cameras and formats developed for recording that event, computer graphics would never give you the sense of threat that you see in the real-life footage. There's a visceral feeling to that footage. It becomes tactile, and in becoming tactile, it can be threatening as well as awesome. So that was the challenge, to find what you might call analog methods to produce effects to evoke the requisite threat, awe, and horrible beauty of the Trinity test. I love Christopher Nolan's movie. I'm very excited. I think that Christopher Nolan could make a very good TRP movie. He's a man who's interested in embedded and reversed systems. So I think he may be the director to aim for if we want eventually an epic on the revolutionary phenotype. But they used real nukes. They used real nukes. They blew a nuclear bomb to make a movie. That is absolutely stunning to me. I'm excited about this movie, but I'm also very worried because Christopher Nolan is very good in fiction telling and in using magic and inversions. But I think that, I don't know, will he be able to make a good historical movie? Because the historical aspect of a movie constrains your mind a lot. And Christopher Nolan excels when he's into embedded systems, onion type of structure, like layers upon layers upon layers. What will he have done with Oppenheimer? Probably something more realistic. And so I'm worried that, I don't know, what does a realistic movie by Christopher Nolan look like? I'm anxious and excited. Blanket says, The Prestige, have you ever watched it, JF? Yes, absolutely. I actually rewatched it 2 weeks ago. A very good movie. It is an excellent movie about storytelling, magic, epistemology. The example of a perfectly executed movie. Gone Girl, Anheuser-Busch fires pro-trans marketing execs who destroyed the brand. So this lady who had hired Danielle Blake and Alyssa Ehrenscheid have been fired for doing this whole trans publicity for Bud Light, which has perhaps permanently ruined the brand. I'm sure they will continue. They will not see what they've done as an error. They will continue stubbornly wearing this on their CV and saying, you know, we did it. We pushed where there was no trans acceptance. We pushed for trans acceptance. That is too bad. The leftists don't have a sense of the fact that, yeah, you have to also sell beer, you know. You have to remain viable economically. Your goal is not just to push for LGBT activism. Yan Maj Chung says, Twitch streamers are losing their minds at people flocking to kick. Every single one of these people are subhuman scum. The Twitch people are, they're going to be faced with increasing competition. And eventually it might become a very cringe platform.
What's the take on kick.com? The math of one take.
Every single one of those people are subhuman scum.
I guess it's the only people you can call subhuman scum on Twitch without getting banned. it's the competition. Very interesting. But yeah, I mean, Twitch, the thing is, it is so much censorship that it totally abolishes any potential political commentary and creativity. You're stuck to be a super leftist if you're on there doing any sort of political commentary. And so you find yourself with other platforms like Kick. I don't know if they will be as much censorship enthusiast. It seems for now that Kick is very much oriented around gaming, streaming, and even gambling. But whenever you have too much censorship, it's not just the political, it's not just people like me that you end up kicking out. It's that the whole community feels a lack of trust. They feel that they're also getting drained a lot from the fees perspective, like Twitch is taking so much from these subscriptions. And so eventually people lose trust in the entirety of the platform and they get away. I hope to see the day when Twitch doesn't exist anymore. Rodita Sid says, Hassan Abi is considered a streamer, but I've never heard a good take from him. Even Destiny was higher IQ and he's no longer on Twitch. Yeah, it's super hard. And you're right, Hassan Piker, I don't know that he's ever had a good idea like that could remain, that we could say is original or is kind of his idea. I don't know. I don't know that he has a single contribution like this. Jay Blake was asking me, shouldn't homosexuality, if it actually is genetic, doubt, a recessive trait? If so, why is the gay population increasing at an increasing rate? How are they reproducing? So I said to this, of course, it's something that you guys may have heard me say a lot, but the fact that there is an increase in the gay population in modern times is not a proof that it's not genetic or a proof that natural selection doesn't exist anymore. They have not been increasing over many generations yet. You should expect to see a progressive drop of the behavior over 5 to 15 generations from the moment they are monogamously homosexual, that is, non-reproductive. The homosexuals of past societies were probably making babies to some extent. The short-term increase in our society can be due to a relapse in evolutionary pressure against it. The world before was strongly shunning that behavior. The world today doesn't. So some genes that were capable of reproducing in the ancient societies aren't in today's world. They'll be selected out. Very simple explanation, and I've been saying it again and again. You have to wait a couple of generations before you see the effect of today's gay behavior. Jan Malschungs has published a very interesting video where this is what the white leftists finds themselves with in terms of cognitive dissonance. They don't want criminality to be they don't want to live with criminality. And so their reflex when they are the victim of a crime, they call the police. But then they also have this guilt that was, they were guilted through the elementary school and the Marxist brainwashing. They were guilted with the conception that it is every white person's fault with their behaviors and their call to the police if black people find themselves in jail. And it has been basically pushed into society, this Marxist view that you have to do your share to stop black people from going to prison. And if that means being the victim of a crime and not reporting it, or like these women who were getting raped in Germany and they were saying, oh, I'm okay with the rape. You know, they come from a very different country, and so it's that they have a different culture. So you find yourself with a man who feels super guilty because he called the police because there was a black man with a knife threatening to kill him. And he reported, and his white behavior is instinctively to tell the truth to the police. Yeah, he did say that he would kill me. But now he sobs and he cries. He starts crying because, oh my God, you're telling me that because of my call, you're putting him in jail? A black man in jail because of me? How is that possible?
He was arrested and charged with simple assault and terroristic threats. Following his arrest, he was transported to the DeKalb County Jail.
Can you imagine being the victim of a crime and you pull your cell phone because you think you're going to record the police into a racist action? It's like, oh, wait. An injustice is being committed here. A black man is going to jail. I need to film. That is what he's doing. Now, 1 minute earlier, he was the guy who was the victim. But now he is the journalist investigating a racist action by the police.
Squad car, please. Why is it happening?
What is happening? Well, you know, you're the victim of that crime. So they're arresting him for the crime.
I'm being arrested?
Yes.
For what?
Now he's asking, he's being arrested for what? For what he did to you, bro. You're the fucking victim.
Just 1 second. But still, I will need for you to fill out a statement for him.
I don't want him arrested. I just want him to leave us alone.
I know, but he had a weapon on him and it was...
Okay, so I've mistaken something. The guy holding the camera is not the victim of the crime. It's this guy who was standing away from the camera who's the victim of the crime. I didn't recognize who was speaking there.
Terrorist threats.
Brandishing is not a crime with a knife.
So this guy is not arguing that brandishing with a knife is not a crime, and therefore, why would you arrest him? I just expected you to come to tell him to leave. I didn't want you to put him in jail.
Only crime for a gun.
Terroristic threats, though, sorry.
Now, the police explains, well, he told you that you would die, so that's a terroristic threat. It's a crime. And it's a crime with a weapon.
Because he said die to me and had his...
Yeah, because he said die to you.
All that was done.
And the police says, well, everything. The fact that he said die to you, the fact that he had a knife, the fact that he assaulted you also, because they arrested him for simple assault. So apparently he didn't attack with the knife, but he did something physically.
The threats, everything.
Let me get a statement. I thought you were going to arrest him, I wouldn't call. I just wanted to leave us alone.
If I had thought you would arrest him, I wouldn't have called. Well, you're going to have to accept that you either live in criminality. I sneezed here. I caught it with the mute button. You either live in criminality and tolerate to be converging toward an absolute criminal state, like African-style levels of criminality, or you call the police. But if you call the police, they're going to have to do their job, which is to arrest criminals.
I understand, but we still have a job to do.
Now he's gonna think I'm doing this because I'm white and he's...
Now this guy is already past the shame of, oh my God, this guy is going to be jailed. Now he's thinking, this guy is going to be stuck in jail. And he's going to be thinking that he's in jail because I'm white and because he's black. He is experiencing the suffering as, oh my God, you guys have taken him to jail. And he's going to have all these ideas about white people now calling on him, calling the police onto him. You have just created a feeling of racism in his brain.
What? Or he's homeless and I'm not. I don't want...
He's non-white and I'm not.
Did he do what he did?
Yeah, but...
But did he do what he did? Yeah. Oh my God. It is absolute cuckery. It is the state of the feminized leftism of today, cheering on violence being committed against him.
But I don't want him thinking I did it because he's in whatever situation he's in. I just want him to leave.
So you call the police because he's in whatever situation he's in. Well, he's in the situation of committing a crime, and it would be safer for the community if he was in jail rather than liberated on the very same day.
He was alone.
I doubt that. I'll be right back, okay?
Don't be right back. I mean, this guy is going to cry on your shoulder all day. Because he's been the part of systemic racism. See what it leads to when the leftists, they expand this systemic racism. You're all part of it. But you become part of it simply for defending yourself. You become part of it simply for calling the police when a crime happens. And so there's two choices in life. Either you are on the side of policing and law and order and honor, then you're going to have to oppress some liberties, but some liberties of people who are demonstrated to have committed crimes. Or you tolerate it, but if you tolerate it, it's going to expand and expand until your entire society lives in criminality. Some random bloke said, Jeff, have you seen the new Tommy Robinson documentary? You should watch and do an episode on it. Okay, he sends me a Twitter link. A British High Court issued an order prohibiting the public release of Tommy Robinson's film Silence. Now that it has been leaked online, Tommy faces 2 years in prison. Okay.
The news is how we find out what's happening in the world. It's how we form our opinions. Opinions based on facts. That's the key. Facts. Facts should be delivered to you by journalists based on the truth. But what if what they're delivering you isn't the truth? What if it's stories that are manipulated to make you think a certain way, to follow a certain narrative, different people's agendas? And what do they do to those who go against that mainstream narrative? Those who try to expose the truth. This is a documentary about the lengths they will go to shut down and silence anyone from bringing you, the British public, the truth.
Right, Jamal, we are. What's the deal
here? I lost my job over this.
Non-disclosure agreements.
He's a nasty little piece of shit.
Swung the hockey stick over his head and hit me in the spine with it.
Well, it's all dead, isn't it?
This kid was out unconscious already. That's just malicious.
I'm not standing, you're not going, but No, because what yous are doing, I know what yous are doing.
Tommy, I am going to mince your kids, mate.
Okay, well, could be interesting. You know, Tommy Robinson is not a super thinker, but he's probably highlighting victims of crimes, and perhaps it's interesting to look at it. I'll check it out. I hope that Tommy Robinson doesn't get punished for this. He has the right to speak. He has the right to show facts. But I mean, in the UK, it's actually questionable whether he has those rights. But certainly from an American liberty sense of it, he does have the right to speak out and to show facts. So yeah, I'll have a look. I'll have a look if I find it. There is a campaign opening against Pedro Gonzalez. Pedro Gonzalez is a guy I don't know much about. I've been seeing his Gab post, and he's kind of beige-ish. He's a beige-ish Mexican type of guy. Like, he's from a South American background. But I've seen, again and again, he was posting beige stuff and commentary. And it seems that the Republican Party is going after him because they're pulling racist and anti-Semitic sentiments being expressed in private messages. This is not new. I had seen they tried doing some coverage like this on him a couple of months ago, I believe, maybe a year. I hadn't paid attention because it's like, well, okay, this guy has an opinion that is based, but he also has posts that is based. And so you caught him in private DMs being honest about what he's also honest about publicly. So never been super excited about these revelations. But since Breitbart is pulling a hit piece on him, perhaps we can review to see what level, what power level is Pedro Gonzalez involved in. Yeah, like not every Jew is problematic, but the sad fact is that most are. I don't know why that is so weird. It's like with any other minority. The only tactical consideration of Jews is screening them for movements. So here, I suppose that what he's trying to say is when they enter your surrounding, you have to be aware that they are Jewish because they might have different political preferences. And so you have to be aware. You just have to check out. You have to be in a kind of DEF CON mode of some sort, in a kind of watching and being attentive to details. But that is not something for open discussion. I used to be like that, where I tried to ignore how subversive these people are. I am at the point where I can respect Jews as individuals and like them as individuals, but as a group, I see them as problematic. So that doesn't sound super shocking. It's like, yeah, you can have Jewish friends. I can have Jewish guests, Jewish friends, but when I see institutionalization of Jewish interests, like the ADL and that kind of stuff, I think it's a negative influence onto society. Makes total sense to me. So some memes, getting really tired of this shit, laughing my ass off. Minorities like me see America for what it is, a country built by whites that can only survive it if whites survive. And it is my job to make whites wake up, because if they don't, we are all fucked, especially people like me. The feeling when you realize whites are the only hope non-whites have of living civilized lives, but whites themselves are too cucked to preserve their own civilization. So a white conscious South American. So there are some dirty language being used. I'm not going to show it on screen, but okay, so dirty language of a racial nature, criticizable, but he was in private. He was using these words in a private context, not for communication purposes. Some random bloke says, Jeff, aren't you friends with Paul Gottfried? He is Jewish. Well, okay, but I just said that I could have Jewish friends. And it's like, it doesn't matter to me. You know, I've co-hosted with Mr. White, the Satoshi Streets Bet podcast, and he's Jewish. Was I annoyed by this? Not at all. I don't care. It's like, I really don't care about Jewish friends or Jewish individuals. I do care about the institutionalization of Jewish interest and leftist interest. Well, you know what I'll say about Casey, a chosen people ho. So basically, pointing out that there are certain thinkers that he suspect are pushing Jewish interest in a kind of subversive manner, and he calls her a hoe. Is it a grave revelation? Not so much. Ferentes is the future. You can see him gradually refining himself, getting ready for bigger things. Scott Greer is putting me in touch with Fuentes. I've got 3 contacts with a line to Fuentes. I never thought I would agree with so much of what Fuentes has to say. Okay, but I mean, this is Breitbart is publishing this with the idea that we should be offended, whereas Breitbart was this whole edgy, let's write a favorable article about the alt-right and how they're actually kind of cool back in the days, back less than 5 years ago. So I should be now, I should be offended that Pedro Gonzalez has a positive view of Fuentes when you guys were the ones trying to surf on the alt-right rise in 2017. I'm not offended. There's nothing to be offended about here. Pedro Gonzalez was saying, Fuentes does one good thing when he trolls Jews. He shows people how subversive they can be. Remember Mike Tokes, that guy who was positioning himself to be a spokesperson for the new right? Well, Tokes was basically like Kirk, no social conservatism, and he even called authentic conservatism backwards. Okay, that sounds like Pedro Gonzalez's normal beliefs. And then other he uses the word German woman femme, and he says master race. The thing is, that's in a meme-y way. It's really just a guy saying he finds a white woman particularly beautiful, and he makes a meme joke about her being part of the master race. Well, none of these revelations are shocking to me, and I don't know why they're doing this hit piece. Probably because they're trying to create a schism in the Republican Party to fully eject anyone who's loosely associated with racialist ideas of the right wing. And they're doing this in preparation for the election. They're doing this in preparation for the takeover of the Republican Party by normie forces. And to that I say it's kind of disparate, and I don't even know that the Republican Party can win by playing the middle like this. The Republican Party won when Donald Trump came strong, and he came, if anything, more to the right than with his campaign, with his promises. I would argue that with his execution, he wasn't that much on the right. But with his campaign, he certainly was throwing messages that were meant for the new right. So all in all, Pedro Gonzalez gets out of this hit piece against him completely clean. And you can just basically ignore this. What a bunch of crap, Breitbart. Some random bloke says, Pedro Gonzalez is the Hispanic Michel Malkin. Very well said. That is absolutely correct. First Amendment, the Supreme Court raises the bar to convict for online threats. It's the case of a guy who had said to a woman online, a musician, she had said, die, and he had said, die and fuck off permanently, which she says made her fear for her safety. And the Supreme Court here has stood for the idea that it's not sufficient for the target of the message to think that it's a death threat. It has to be proven that the person making those threats knew that they were death threat. Because die, you know, is kind of a mimetic thing we say on the internet. I'll just go die. And we really don't mean. And this was the case of this guy. He didn't mean for her to actually die. He was basically just telling her to fuck off with a way that the internet has to say these things. So the Supreme Court is saying there's not enough evidence that this guy truly intended these things as death threats. So they have expanded the reach of free speech to messages that could be understood as a death threat, but that are not necessarily meant as death threat. I think it's a wise decision by the Supreme Court because there is so much language that is at the limit. And traditionally, the First Amendment gives really it tells our judiciary to be caring very, very much about freedom of speech. It's the whole conception that speech, to begin with, shouldn't come with a suspicion of criminality. It should be totally protected to the extent possible. So I think they struck just the right balance here. Because I'm fine with people saying die like this on the internet in a way that is credible, that it will lead to an actual murder. And at the same time, if you don't like it, you can tell these people, hey, stop threatening me. I will interpret any further reference to die as a death threat. And then if they continue, then you can argue that they fit outside of the standard laid out by the Supreme Court. So I don't see that this will have negative consequences very much. It just extends positively the space of free speech to include kind of borderline messages, but it doesn't do it in a way that there's no legal remedy. The legal remedy is simple. If they first send you a die, just warn them that they are making death threats, and then if they do it again, you'll have an argument in court. Three women vandalize a restaurant over $1.75 worth of sauce. My God, they are potentially beautiful females. Like, put a dress on them and put them in the kitchen and remove a lot of their psychiatric issues. They would have been good wives. Too bad they are spending their time living destructive lifestyles in the city. And there you go, the twerking. Papa Jeff been told you. All right, so lots of expenses to just be managing those psychiatric populations. U.S. official says Ukraine has lost 15% of its Bradley tanks. Not surprised. I'm pretty sure it's higher than this. 15%. That seems like an undersell of the number that they're doing because they don't want to look bad. Brittany Venti says, YouTube telling me how I should delete my tweet because I put my own email in the tweet. Guess I'm not allowed to share my own info without YouTube implying a threatening or else tone all over me inquiring on a false privacy complaint that is going to take my video down. So the people who have stayed on YouTube are still in problem with their censorship and their strikes, their very punitive strikes. Kylie Triller says two men rented a woman's womb so they could buy her baby. The woman received an aggressive cancer diagnosis 24 weeks into the pregnancy, requiring medical care incompatible with pregnancy. The baby was viable, so she wanted to induce labor, but the dads refused. They didn't want a preemie, so a preterm birth, or the health challenges associated with it, but they weren't willing to let anyone else adopt the baby either because they didn't want to live with the knowledge that their DNA was out there in the world. They tried to force termination of the pregnancy and refused all life-saving measures should the baby be born alive. The baby was induced and left to die. Yes, that's exactly the kind of complications why it's not a good idea to be living this lifestyle where we're sending a lot of people toward the homosexual lifestyle. We're even making it so that they can have these carrying females pair with them. And we're creating impossible situations where nature would have taken care of this, you know. A father who would be with this woman would have both the interest of the child and the woman at heart. He would have been in place to make a good decision. But if it's a commercial relationship, they don't give a shit about the mother. They don't give a shit about the baby if he's not perfect because they bought this service. They are expecting like a customer. We're creating so much complications by getting away from nature. A different level of road rage issue.
You did help me out and move.
This is what Elon Musk tried when he started making his demonstration of a unbreakable glass. That's what he should have had. The guy is incapable of breaking that glass. What you have to understand is those side windows of the car, they are supplemented with something very special. They've showed it on Mythbusters. And basically, you need a special type of metal, apparently. And that special type of metal, like, you just touch the glass and it's... but somehow you need a very pointy, special kind of... I don't know how to describe it. It's like a cone with a semicircle. And it's like, you shoot it and the glass breaks instantly. But somehow these glass are anti-breaking for human hands and anything that's not this special device. Amalgam Zero says, yeah, I've exploded the windows with a screwdriver before. Yeah. So I guess a screwdriver would do it. It kind of has this pointy aspect to it, but it has to be in certain subsets of metals. And it has to be pointy. And the female comes to stop the altercation. Well, thank God. I mean, this guy who can't even be sued for vandalism, nothing broke. This man has no neck. Yeah, I kind of stuffed the video at a special moment where the guy truly looks like he has no neck. The terrifying inside story of how an innocent dad was tortured and killed by a group of chainsaw-wielding pedophile hunters after his wife falsely accused him of molesting her daughters. Yeah, the whole pedophile hunter guys, it works if you do your own research. It's kind of fun if you do your own research and you kind of identify real crime. But don't go believe a wife saying that about her husband. It's like, have some better sources than a single woman making the claim. It's absolutely ridiculous. And as a last news item, a marriage offer by a white man to a black woman, I think. She seems to be black. But she turns him away as he gets onto his knee. She's already looking the other way. She's not interested in marrying Whitey. She just wanted to try the D on a temporary basis.
Sad day for him.
I love that this guy has a black girlfriend. He hangs out with black people with this ridiculous green vest. His best friend is apparently a black best friend who's the only one here to support him as he needs the emotional support to stand back up. And yeah, he had a mask. He's making a marriage demand with a mask. Hopefully he's vaccinated too. The hurt that you can feel in his behavior is like, oh no, are you serious, man? Oh no, bro, why did she say no? Oh no, man. Oh no. What a set of disgusting attributes this guy has. Ridiculous belt, ridiculous green vest, overdone dressing, hanging out with black people. Something tells me this guy is highly insecure. I don't even know if he's a guy. Maybe he's a trans guy. I don't know. But oh my God, he is hurting now.
How could she?
Bro, that is not what you have to wear when you ask a female to marry you.